This is All Things Considered on North Carolina Public Radio, WUNC. I'm Jeff Tiberi. After a week hiatus, we're back to discuss the week in politics. Fortunately, or unfortunately, the ongoing political drama found no winter recess. Rob Schofield with the Progressive NC Policy Watch is here. So too is Becky Gray from the conservative John Locke Foundation. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, guys.
North Carolina is missing a member of Congress, and it's likely going to be that way for a while. The 116th Congress was sworn in earlier this week, but there will be no U.S. House member from the 9th Congressional District. The result wasn't certified due to alleged absentee ballot fraud. And this controversy has been playing out in tandem with a long-standing dispute over authority over the state election board. And because of recent court rulings, coinciding with a new law, the state will actually be without a board of elections, probably until the end of the month. That means no board with subpoena power, no evidentiary hearing to try to begin to sort out some of this mess. Plenty of finger-pointing going on. Lost in the mess, it seems to me, in part, is the push to determine how an election may have been manipulated, who knew that, and how this could be prevented from happening again. At this point, aren't Republicans and Democrats both being a little bit disingenuous?
It seems to me that this whole thing, there's some famous historical aphorism about things happening first as tragedy and then as farce. I mean, I think maybe that's what's going on here. This situation has reached sort of an absurd level. I thought it reached perhaps its nadir earlier this week when the candidate, Mr. Harris, did his latest 180-degree flip-flop. First, he thought he wanted to be certified. Then he wanted to have a full investigation. Dallas Woodhouse, the head of the Republican Party, said he was sickened by what he heard was going on in the electoral fraud allegations. And now we're back to this point where they want to be certified again. It's certifiably crazy at this point. Governor Cooper has been sort of flip-flopping a little bit, too. He said he was going to go ahead and proceed with the investigation, appoint a new board of elections that would sit in the interim between now and when the new board is implementing in January 31st. But then he's now kind of changed his mind on that. So it's a crazy situation. But I think the bottom line, what we know is this is not going to happen. Mark Harris is not going to be serving in Congress. There will be an election at some point in the spring. And hopefully we'll get to the bottom of what happened.
I agree with Rob. I think this is certifiably crazy, and it seems to get crazier every day. There is an investigation going on, but now, Jeff, as you mentioned, we're sort of in this limbo without a state board of elections that is the entity that is supposed to be doing this investigation. I think at the end of the day, the real question is integrity of elections in North Carolina, and if there was election fraud that occurred, and it certainly looks like things are going that way. As you mentioned, North Carolina doesn't have one of its 13 congressmen to represent us. I think that's a shame. Where this ends up, I hope that, and of course now there's a question of will the state board of elections be the ones to make this determination, or will the U.S. House of Representatives step in, and where does this go? But I think at the end of the day, the losers in this are the voters, particularly in the 9th District across North Carolina, and the integrity of our elections. And I think it is extremely important that this investigation plays out, that it's done in a fair and efficient manner, which from what I've read and what I've seen, there's no indication that it hasn't been or that it won't be. But I think that we need to let this play out. And kudos to those who are insisting on a full investigation, getting to the bottom of it. I understand that some of the folks at the department or the elections board are frustrated because they have been working almost nonstop since this whole thing came to light on subpoenaing people, compiling documents, going through, conducting an investigation, and now those hearings and the evidentiary hearing has been postponed. But I'm confident and hopeful that this will proceed and that we will get to the bottom of it.
Quick follow-up. Do you both share that frustration that there doesn't seem to be someone of prominence advocating for the word you just used, I think twice, maybe three times, integrity? Or am I missing it? Is somebody advocating?
I mean, I feel like most of the parties, with the exception of the occasions when there's been some flip-flopping over on the GOP side, have been demanding that. I mean, the candidate McCready's been asking for it. Governor Cooper's been asking for it. I mean, even state legislators have been asking for full investigations. I'm not so concerned about that people are not asking for a full investigation.
I think it's sort of the system and the way this whole thing has fallen together is the problem. I don't think anybody is opposed to the integrity of our elections and protecting that.
At the General Assembly, the new year means no more veto-proof majorities for state lawmakers. During the last 2 years, lawmakers voted to override 23 of the governor's 28 vetoes, with a veto stamp that now carries, we think, a little more heft. What is the most important issue for this governor in 2019, Becky?
I think it's got to be the state budget. Of course, the governor will come out with his proposal in the next couple months. That's the biggest thing that the state legislature does, is put together that budget. And we're kind of at a crossroads with this. Many of the reforms that have occurred in North Carolina since 2011 have transformed our economy. Our economy is one of the strongest in the country. You know, do we continue along that path? And there's always a question of how do you take the revenue that is collected through taxes on businesses and individuals and allocate that money in the best way to provide core government functions. And I think this year, particularly for the governor, I think that's going to be he has laid out his priorities. We saw this during the last budget cycle of, in my view, some of the troubling increase in spending that he had proposed. So I think that going into this, I think the budget is going to be the biggest point of controversy. There'll be others, of course, but I think that's going to be the big one.
One of the best economies for small businesses, but not one of the best economies for economic opportunity and growth. I would just note that. There is a fork in the road as it pertains to North Carolina's economy.
Well, when you have economic growth, there are averages and it is uneven across the state. I mean, it's no secret to anyone, particularly in our rural areas across North Carolina, there's still a lot of work to do. But, you know, when you look at those, the GDP, when you look at unemployment, when you look at those things across the state and average them, North Carolina's economy is strong.
Well, actually, I would disagree. I would say that it's one of the most divided recoveries we've ever had. We've had a lot of success for people at the top and near the top, but for folks in the middle, a huge proportion of our population still doesn't even have $400 in the bank, you know, in basic savings. I mean, these are people who are supposedly middle class. Middle class jobs have gone away. People are cobbling together things with two and three part-time, you know, slightly above minimum wage jobs. I mean, if this is a healthy economy, we are in trouble, because obviously this we're going to probably go down at some point, and things are already in rough shape for a lot of people. But I would say I would agree that the budget is clearly the biggest matter that the legislature will deal with. It invariably contains dozens of other provisions. I'm very hopeful that the governor will be able to make progress on expanding Medicaid, which is, I think, remains the top priority for caring and thinking people going forward in North Carolina. We've got thousands of people dying prematurely, unnecessarily in this state each year because of the failure to follow the lead of almost all the other states in expanding Medicaid. I'm hopeful that he'll be able to work that out with Republicans in some version of some sort of modest Medicaid expansion. That's top of the list from my perspective.
There was a bill that was passed either 2 or 3 years ago now that basically says if a new budget is not passed, previous spending levels are enacted moving forward. As I see it, this gives the GOP no longer veto-proof, but gives the GOP a bit of a buffer, a bit of a stall tactic, call it what you want. Are you hopeful that we're going to have a new state budget come next summer, or is this fiscal conversation something that we could be talking about late in 2019?
I'm still optimistic. I think there is still a good chance. I think Governor Cooper and the legislature, neither one of them wants to go into a situation where we're operating on a continuing resolution. We don't have a state budget. I think it's not to either of their benefits. There have been many times when Governor Cooper has frustrated progressives for actually making compromises on some issues that people on the left thought he shouldn't have done. And I think he's fully capable of making compromises. And I think he would very much like to find some common ground. So I'm not at all convinced we'll have stalemate, you know, all year long. I think there are going to be some real hard, very high walls to overcome, some big differences. But I still think there's a chance we can make some progress.
I really agree with Rob. And I think, too, don't forget, this is a new General Assembly. And we have a lot of new members that are coming in with new priorities, with new ideas. And the governor has expressed some of his ideas over the past 2 years of his governorship, and I think we'll see that again. Of course we will. But I agree with Rob. I think that the likelihood of them coming up with a budget, some kind of compromise budget. Now, I will say, I think it's going to take a while to get there. I don't think we'll see a budget at the end of the fiscal year. Hopeful that we will. But, you know, we've certainly seen that before, where the budget has been delayed by continuing resolutions just while they work out those compromises. This is so early in the process, though, it's kind of hard to make those predictions.
A good number of fresh faces will indeed arrive here in downtown Raleigh next week to be sworn in. A dozen incumbents were bounced during the midterms. I want to speed things up a little bit here, a bit of a lightning round. I'm going to give you an issue, and I want you to tell me how far the legislation will advance, and briefly, why. The three options for the outcomes are Bill dies in committee, ends by gubernatorial veto or becomes law. Ready?
Ready.
Sure.
Okay. Privatizing the ABC.
Dying committee, but the conversation begins. I think this is a multi-year project, but I think that getting it in committee, getting it in to be discussed in both the House and the Senate and the governor's office is a great step forward.
Whether it's a step forward or not, I think that's probably a fair assessment of where things will end up.
We're going to move off of substances here in a second, but easing of restrictions on medical marijuana.
Probably dying committee.
I think a bill will be filed because it is every year, but yeah, I think it'll die in committee.
Raising the minimum wage from the federally mandated $7.25 an hour. Note, the minimum wage now for full-time state employees is $15 an hour, thanks to legislation passed last July. Rob, start with you on that one.
I think it would be a brilliant policy proposal. It's something they should do. Other states have all been doing it, but I don't think the Republicans want to vote on the floor, so I doubt they'll allow it to get out of committee.
I don't think we're quite ready for it, but I think it'll be interesting to watch how the $15 minimum works with state employees and maybe use that as a springboard later for additional conversation.
Medicaid expansion.
Passes in the House, dies in the Senate.
I'm still thinking there's a chance it can become law. And hopeful that it will.
You're an optimistic man in 2019.
We'll see how long that lasts.
One more, bringing us together perhaps here at the end. Independent redistricting. Becky.
I hope it becomes law. I think it's way past time. But I think that we may see that late in the session. Don't forget, we talked about the budget. We talked about how controversial that's going to be. Another huge issue is going to be redistricting. And I think the longer we fight this, the more it makes sense to have some sort of independent body working under very strict rules to draw the new redistricting lines.
We had a positive development this week that pushes us in the direction of getting something passed, which was that the federal court returned the case to state court that the Republicans had tried to remove, hoping not to have state judges make this decision on state legislative districts. We now know that, in fact, it's going to stay in state court, and that bodes well for a ruling that we do have unconstitutional partisan gerrymandering. So that could, it seems to me, push us a little further along the road towards some sort of actual new law.
And the more that the state courts determine what the rules are for redistricting and offer less and less wiggle room for whoever is drawing the maps, the more that we move towards, I think, a better redistricting process.
The more likely lawmakers say, we're done with this and give it to an independent commission?
An independent commission or perhaps legislative staff. Mm-hmm. In my view, it's not as important who draws those as it is the rules that confine the people that are drawing the maps.
Becky Gray, Senior Vice President with the John Locke Foundation. Rob Schofield is Director of NC Policy Watch. Enjoy your weekend.
Thanks. Thanks, guys.